Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Happy Sabbath, church family. What a blessing, Sister Josie, for that song. She already preached the sermon, my friends. We're just getting now extra credit. But happy Sabbath to all of you, and indeed, you know, this church has been on the move. We have about one-third of our congregation that is going south to the Pathfinder Bible Experience. Some already there, and quite a few are there. We are taking two teams and praying that we make it to Florida. Amen? This is the union level. There are two teams of them, and God has been blessing them because it is a great joy when our young people can be in the Word of God. Our prayer has been all along that this is not just an exercise in memory, but a life-transforming experience, encountering the Word of God. And God has been so faithful, friends, in all that He has done. I also want to tell you that we have very good news today. Spring has come. And I was telling, we're so glad that the Baines are back, and I was telling them that it's warm. Now, for them coming from Hawaii, I assume it's cold, but for us, it's warm. And you guys brought the sunshine with you, and we're so glad that you guys are back. The title of today's sermon or exhortation is Enough is Enough. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that indeed your eye is on the sparrow. And we are much more valuable to you than the sparrow. And Father, at this time, as we study the Word of God, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, that by beholding, we may become changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to talk to you about the business of redemption. And there's no better case study often in the Word of God for the business of redemption than the life of a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob. If you turn your Bibles with me, and we're going to use our Bibles quite a bit, so please have it on hand as we study the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15. Once you're there, if you could say a good amen. That was half there. I will wait. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jacob, in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15, is at the end of his life. And he does one of the most important things that any human being can do in his time, and that is to give his final words. But these words are not just words he's going to say, they are blessings that he is giving. And in this case, he's giving a blessing to Joseph and his sons. And in this blessing, he reveals the business of redemption. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15, it begins, and this is what he says, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to which day, my friend? To this day. And he says, and the angel who has redeemed me from how many evil? All evil. Bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. The part that I want to focus here today is especially in verse 16, where he says these words. He says, "The who again, my friends? The angel. The angel." It is interesting he does not say God, though this is essentially God, but he says the angel who has done what? Redeemed me. From how many evil? From all evil. The word redeemed. This is an amazing statement from Jacob, because if you look at his name itself, his name meant he was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. He was somebody who was out there to do something that was not right. That was his name. A supplanter. He was not the most thoughtful brother. As a matter of fact, his brother Esau, what did he do to Esau? He stole his birthright. He eventually, in order to do that, he had to do one thing. Essentially, he had to deceive his own father. In the last days of his father Isaac, Jacob, go with me to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 22 to 24. I told you we're going to use the word of God, my friend, so please just stay tuned. Genesis chapter 27, verse 22 to 24. The Bible recounts these words about the encounter of Jacob and his father Isaac. It says in there in verse 22, "So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said," the voice is whose voice? Jacob's voice. "But the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And then to make sure, Isaac says these words. Then he said, "Are you really my son who? Esau." Could you imagine your own father says, "Are you really?" Because Isaac could not see very well. He is trying to tune in all of his senses. He feels his hands. But he wants to know his true identity. And he says, "Are you really my son, Esau?" And what does Jacob say? "I am." Jacob's life was marked by the stain of the past. He had done something that in that culture, and even in our culture here today, would be unthinkable. To deceive your own father in his last days. But Jacob wanted something, and he was willing to do whatever it takes for that one thing, even if it meant deceiving his own father. But here is the reason why we're in church today. Can God change a man like Jacob? Remember, we are talking today about the science or the business of redemption. How does God change a man from being a deceiver to a man of God? You see, in today, this is probably the most important question. How does God save in the last days? Jacob is a great case study, and he says again in his last blessing to his son Joseph and his children, he says, "The angel that has redeemed me from how many evil again, my friends? All evil." Jacob had an encounter with the angel. And in that encounter with that angel, we are going to see how God redeems somebody, the exact steps he takes. So stay with me, step number one. This is what God had to do to Jacob to change him. Number one, God needed to allow Jacob to come to a point where enough was enough. Let me say that again. The first step that God had to allow Jacob to come to was to come to a point where enough was enough. His past was a series of mistakes, heartaches, and headaches. Jacob, like us, wanted to live his life after that encounter he had with his father. He ran away and became almost like an orphan, going his own way. His past was a disaster. And there he was, running away and running away, until he reaches a point in Genesis chapter 32. Go there with me to Genesis chapter 32, where enough was enough. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 22. At this point in his life, he is a full-grown man. He has experienced life, and now he has a family. And in verse 22, it says, "And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over to the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go until what, my friends? Until you bless me.'" Jacob had lived life his own way. He had gone through the seasons of life. He met a man by the name of Laban who was not an honest man. And as a result of that encounter, he comes back with how many wives? Two wives. One, the first one that he had, Leah, was not the one that he wanted. So he got Rachel. And in the midst of all of that, his kids as well, through that process, how many kids does he have? 11 kids. And do they all get along? No, they don't. Trials and tribulation. And now in the midst of that, he realizes that spending time in Laban's place is not good. And he says, it's time to go back to my father's land. But as he journeys that way, my friends, he realizes that there's somebody he has to meet. And that someone that he has to meet is his brother by the name of Esau. And Esau has harbored hate for his brother. He knows that Esau can be a dangerous man, and if Esau wanted it, he could destroy all of his family and everything. And Jacob reaches the point where he realizes that his choices have had consequences, and his life has been one of trials and tribulation. So he goes and he says, enough is what again, my friends? Is enough. Enough is enough. He goes alone, verse 24. And as he's there alone, an angel wrestles. He realizes that something is there, and Jacob initiates the wrestling match with this angel, and he wrestles and he wrestles and he wrestles, and he realizes that this is not a normal man, that there's something about this angel that is more than an angel, he is wrestling with God. And his wrestling with God is actually not just a physical wrestling. He is wrestling for redemption. He is wrestling for salvation. He is wrestling not only for physical relief, but he wants spiritual relief. And he does not say to the angel that he's wrestling with, he does not say, just let me go. I am tired of fighting you. He says, no, no, no. I will not let you go until what, my friends? Until you bless me. Enough was enough. Let me ask you, my friends, have you and I today have had enough of sin? The world today, we don't have to guess how the world today is, but we know the world today is on fire. There are things happening right now in our lives that we have never seen happen. We're being pressed on every side, shaken on every side. And God, I believe, is allowing us to get to a point where we are going to say, enough is enough. I don't want this world any longer. I want my eternal inheritance. For Jacob, he had reached the point where more than anything, he wanted the true blessing of God. And he had reached that point where he was willing to wrestle even with a disjointed hip to receive the blessing of God. God allowed him to reach that point. And for some of us, my friends, God is going to allow us to reach that point too, where enough is enough. I am tired of this addiction. I am tired of this indulgence. I am tired of this attitude. I am tired of being out of line with God's will for my life. And enough is enough. Principle number two. As Jacob is wrestling with the angel, as he keeps wrestling with the angel and he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. All of a sudden, God shows us principle number two and he says something very interesting. Go with me, my friends, to verse 27. Are you still with me, my friends? Amen. In verse 27, he says this thing as he's wrestling and all these things back and forth. God asked him a very interesting question. And he said to him, what is your name? This is painful. Let me tell you why. Several decades ago, his father, Isaac, asked him for his identity. God brings Jacob to his lowest point in his earthly experience. That experience when he met his father, Isaac, and Isaac was trying to figure out, who are you? What is your true identity? Tell me who you are. And he says, are you Esau? My son. And what does Jacob say? I am. The angel, as he's wrestling with the angel, brings him to the lowest point of his earthly experience. And he says to him, tell me your identity. What is your what, my friends? Your name. Principle number two. If we want to experience redemption with God, we must be honest with ourselves. We cannot fake God. We cannot play with God. We cannot fool around with God. We might deceive an Isaac, but we are not going to deceive God. And God asked Jacob the lowest point in his life where he deceived his own father. He says, again, he brings him to that point, and he says, "What is your name? What is your name? What is your name?" You could imagine in Jacob's experience, he knows where God is taking him. Because doesn't God know all of our names? Doesn't God know everything? And by this point, Jacob realizes that the one that he's wrestling with can bless him. So he knows that he's wrestling with the divine. He's not wrestling with a man. And he knows that as he's wrestling with this being, he knows that this being can bless him. And this being says, "Tell me your name." If you and I want to be saved from our sins, we need to be honest with God. We cannot play with God. Because as we are seeking for the victory after we've had enough is enough, God is going to bring us to that point, and he's going to say, he's going to test our heart. "Do you really want to be saved?" And there I could see Jacob. Verse 27 again, my friends. "So he said to him," that is the angel, he said, "What is your name?" And what does Jacob say, my friends? And he said, "Jacob. Jacob." Principle number one, again, God brings us to a point where enough is enough. Principle number two, God is looking for honesty. And when we're willing to be honest with God, when we are willing to surrender to God and be truly who we are and say, "God, this is who I am. With all the broken pieces of my life, with all the things that I have done, God, this is who I am." Notice what God does, my friends. In verse 28, he said, and he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but it shall be called" what? "Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Amen? Here's the beauty about it, my friends. When we are honest with God, principle number three comes into play. With God's help, he changes us. He helps us to overcome. What he does for Jacob is he changes Jacob's name. And he says, "You will no longer be called Jacob, but you will be called" what again, my friends? "Israel." My friends, we can never gain the victory over sin if we fight in our own armor. We need the help of God. Yet so many of us here today are trying to do religion like Cain. We try to go to God, but we say, "God, I want to do it on my own terms. I'm willing to go this far, but not all the way. I'm willing to attend church, but not all the way. I'm willing to do these things, but I won't change my career. God, I have to do things. I will give you something, but not everything. I have done that for too long as well, my friends. It's not only you, it's me as well." And God will say, "Well, if you truly want to be free, I will have to bring you to a point where enough is" what, my friends? "Enough. Where because of the choices you made, even though I had a calling on your life, and you say, 'No, I want to pursue money.'" God sometimes will allow us to reach a point where we see that money is in vain, and where we will say, "Enough is enough." And as God is trying to reach us, and when but God, in order to give us the full victory, we will have to be honest with ourselves and say, "God, I love you, but I don't really love you. God, I've done this, but I'm not all the way in. God, I'm going this way. I want to keep you close by, but I've not given you everything, Lord. But God will say, if you want the victory, my son or my daughter, you must surrender to me fully. For Jacob, there was no way of escape. God brought him to the lowest point in his experience. And when Jacob was willing to surrender it all to Jesus and say, this is who I am, God gave him the blessing of redemption. Salvation in Jesus Christ. My friends, I hope you're with me. I hope you know your pastor loves you. What I'm trying to tell us today, my friends, we cannot play with God. We cannot say with God, I am going 50%, because God is calling us to give 100%. Because sin will always kill us. And if we're living life playing with God, one foot in the world and one foot in the church, the devil will get us, my friends. And his life for us and his plan for us is a nightmare. I cannot tell you how many people that I've gone to school with that have decided to walk away from the Lord, and today, time and time again, they call back and says, I wish I had practiced what I had been taught growing up. I wish that I had followed the Lord's plan for my life instead of going this way or that way, because the world is fake gold. But Jesus is real. Jacob says, enough is enough. And God gives him the blessing that he was longing for, because Jacob did not even know what he needed. But in order to know what he needed, the angel had to ask him, what's your name? And when he realized it, he says, wow, what I really needed was a new identity in God. And God redeemed him and gave him a new name. But you know, my friends, as we're landing the plane, the beauty about this is that when you go to God as you are and you surrender to God as you are, the job that he begins in your life, if you're willing to trust him, he will always, and listen to me, my friends, he will always finish the job. Amen? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says there in these words, my friends, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friends, there's good news today in Lansing. If you are willing to begin the race with Jesus, and you never take your eyes off of Jesus, you and I will finish the race with Jesus. Amen? When Jacob surrendered to God, he was on God's timetable now. It did not matter whether he will have to face Esau. It did not matter what he was going to go through, because he had received the blessing of God. Here's extra credit for you today, my friends, as we're landing our plane. When your life is in the hands of God, there is nothing to fear. When your life is in the hands of God, there is assurance of salvation. It is true that Jacob, even after that encounter he had with God, still had to go through the trials of life the ups and downs and all those different things, but it did not matter because he was free in Jesus Christ. And his price was eternal life. That is why in our last verse again, my friends, Genesis chapter 48, let's go back as he gives the blessing to his sons, to Joseph. These are his words. As Jacob has experienced the business of redemption, he says this in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15 to 16. He says, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has done what, my friends? Redeemed me from what? From all evil. Bless the lads and let my name be named upon them and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. My friends, when we surrender to God, we have an eternal inheritance. But if we want truly to have the victory, we must say in our hearts, enough is enough with sin. I am willing to be honest with God, and I need the help of God. And when you go to God just as you are, though you and I are great sinners, God is a great Savior. And God can save anyone that is willing to be redeemed. Is there anything today, my friends, that will keep you from surrendering to Jesus Christ? Is it a career? Is it a relationship? Is it maybe the pursuit of something that we don't even know? Whatever it is, my friends, I can guarantee you from the Word of God, it cannot surpass the blessing of being with Jesus. So my lasting family, what will keep us from being redeemed today? I want to have a special word of prayer with us. And if there's anything in our lives today that we know has been keeping us from giving a full surrender to Jesus, like Jacob, may we say, enough is enough. Today, I want salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, time is too short for us to play around with you. For many of us, Lord, the world has been making so much noise and we've been paying attention to the noise of the world. But we still hear the still small voice of the Word of God calling us, saying, my son and my daughter, I can save you. Today, Lord, as a congregation, we are saying with Jacob, Lord, we've had enough of this world. We want the blessing of God, the assurance of salvation, and freedom from the sins that so easily beset us. Lord Jesus, in your name today, we claim the victory. And we pray, Father, that the work that you have started in us, that you will finish it. And that as we go from faith to faith, soon, Lord, we shall see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.